It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Yes, Jason Wilde and John Anderson. Not necessarily in that order. Professor, take it away.
I don't even know where to start that isn't new from last week, Jason Wilde, because I don't know that they played last week, so all the same questions that were available and on the table a week ago remain this time around. Give me kind of your order of operations that the team needs to go through as they evaluate and head into this offseason.
Well, I'm certainly glad, first of all, that Homer turned it over to you, because otherwise I have a lot of questions about the idea of being able to travel to Ireland with Homer. That sounds very appealing to me. So I'll have to go to ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. Is that the site?
That's true. Or you can meet me. You can meet me February the 2nd at Maddie's Bar and Grill in New Berlin at 5 o'clock, and I'll have all the answers for you. And starting with, well, you've met my wife, so you can meet her.
Oh, she's going too? I'm much.
Yes, that's, the wife
you
is
just
going.
Sweetened the pot already. Yes, you've already. It's already yes. Even better. Yes. So to answer John's question, I think a
okay,
couple
much
of things,
better.
Right. I mean, I think first of all, I keep going back to this, and I don't think I got to talk to you guys. It wouldn't have been, because it would have been Thursday that Goody said this. But what Goody said about this idea of ramping up our urgency, that phrase was like, it came out of his mouth, and I was like, whoa. And then he followed it up with, it's time for this team to start competing for championships. It was like, double whoa. And while that's obviously the goal, and while that's obviously, you know, they call it Title Town for a reason, and I had included that in my question that elicited this response, the fact of the matter is that I think what his message was is that, we're a young team. It's been great that we've had some success and been able to turn over the roster and absorb Aaron Rodgers' $40 million cap hit and all those things. But we made it to the playoffs the last 2 years, and those opportunities are not guaranteed each year. And we kind of squandered them. I think that's what his message was, that they had the 49ers on the ropes 2 years ago. Doesn't matter that you were ahead of schedule and you were in a rebuilding year. Once you're there, you're there. And they got there this year, and they had the chance against a not by any means perfect Philadelphia team that was only leading 16-10 in spite of getting all those turnovers from the Packers. And they had a chance to still win in advance, and they didn't get it done. And so I think what is high on Goody's priority list is to make sure that his constantly youngest team in the league roster understands that next year is not guaranteed. Otherwise, Dan Marino would have been to a bunch of Super Bowls. And these guys, most of them don't know who Dan Marino is because they're too young. But the fact of the matter is that they have not, in his estimation, taken advantage of their opportunities, which is an interesting perspective, given that those of us that have covered the team or talk about the team on a daily basis haven't really put that kind of pressure on this team, right? We've kind of said, oh, it was great what they did in 2023, 2024. Yeah, disappointment, but they were still they grew. They took another step forward in terms of their record. They're another year experienced. And he was basically like, that's not exactly how I see it.
How much of that message, because it sounds like that's to the team and the roster, how much of that applies to Matt LaFleur?
I mean, first of all, you're exactly right, John. Like, he wasn't just talking to me, right? It was my question, but he wasn't just talking to me. And he was talking to the team. And those guys are going to see that. They're going to see. They will have seen it on social media. I don't know if they're subscribers to various news organizations, but it will get back to them. And remember, the general manager, much like Brad Pitt in Moneyball, does not address the team very often. You may not look like a winning team, but you are one. You know, he does not talk to them, and so they'll find out about it, but they don't get direct communication from him. So in my opinion anyway, a shot across the bow to let them know what's up. And so, you know, I think some of it is definitely directed toward the players, and especially young players who maybe don't have that sense of urgency. I don't think it's necessarily directed at LaFleur in a way of saying, hey, wake up. Are you not aware of this? I don't think it's that, because I think LaFleur has that sense of urgency. He understands NFL standing for not for long. But what I think it does is it lets him know, hey, don't coddle these guys. Don't look at them and just say, oh, well, we're the youngest team in the league again. That stuff is over with. And, you know, I don't know how tough Matt LaFleur is on his guys. I'm not saying that he has to be tougher than he has been, because I don't know that. But I do think that, you know, when we talk about ramping up urgency, I think that also means ramping up expectation. And that means expecting these guys to play now like veterans who have, you know, 1 year, 2 years, or in the 2022 draft classes case, 3 years of NFL experience. You guys aren't young anymore. I don't, you know, I will say this. Goody basically said, you know, to quote Aaliyah, age ain't nothing but a number. And basically said, look, I don't care that statistically we're the youngest team in the league the last 2 years. This is an experienced football team. And I think that messaging is directed toward everyone, including Matt LaFleur, of don't take it easy on these guys. We got to get to work.
All right, Jason, I got to ask you a question. The professor will come back. I think he's overrating the team's talent. I think he's giving himself credit for having a better team than he actually has. I don't want to say it's garbage, but he's just wrong. They're not that good to be what he says they can be. You know, you have to ramp up your what's the word again?
Urgency. Yeah.
No, dude, you got to come up with a few more players. This team isn't good enough. We bought that after the end of last season, but they ain't. So, assess. He's putting it all them.
I think that's a really fair point, Homer. And I would also say this. I think he's aware of that, right? Like, there's no way he got out of this season and looked at the wide receiver situation and didn't just say, yeah, we're totally good there, right? Now, he may not have any interest in, say, paying a T. Higgins, who's about to hit the free agent market, right, who he could have, theoretically, drafted instead of Jordan Love. And there were certainly those of us at the time who thought that they might have won a Super Bowl had they done that instead of drafting Love. But then who knows what they'd be doing at quarterback right now. But I don't know if he can look at his roster, you know, objectively, because it is his roster. He's the one who built it. But I don't know if you can look at it objectively and not say, you know what, there are some pretty significant holes here that we aren't good enough in, right? Like, my first round pick of Lucas Van Ness, not looking great at this point. My first round pick, and then decision to pay Rashawn Gary, not looking too good right now, right? I mean, he tore his ACL, a month after he got that contract? Kind of the David Bakhtiari curse revisited. Yeah. But those guys have not delivered, right? I mean, the two free agent signings, as I put it to him in my question, those weren't just home runs. Those were walk-off grand slams. And he said, I appreciate that. But they were. But guess what? You don't get to sit and rest on those, because now you got $50 million in cap space. Now you got to do it again. And whether that's a corner, whether that's an edge rusher, whether that's Max Crosby or not, whether that's T. Higgins or not, whether you use your draft capital to move up and take a guy in the draft that plays wide receiver that's going to be a true number one, I don't know. Because the other topic that I broached with him, and I do want to get into this, we don't obviously have time, but I want to get into it with Tausch, is the concept of the number one wide receiver. I went through, you know, John, you and I, and obviously Homer, because he's been covering the team since Don Hutson, but we know the lineage of great number one wide receivers, and they were all homegrown, right? It was Sterling Sharp to Robert Brooks to Antonio Freeman to Donald Driver to Greg Jennings to Jordy Nelson to Devontae Adams to Alan Lazard? You know what I mean? Like that, there was this clear-cut lineage, just like the quarterback, but with more guys, of really, really, really legit number one wide receivers, guys that were all pros. And after they decided to move on from Devontae, they drafted all these guys, but we didn't see any one of them elevate to say, I'm the alpha, I'm the guy you got to have as the number one read all the time when it's third and six and we got to get it. And so whether that's someone is able to emerge in 2025 or they draft someone in the first round for the first time since Javon Walker in 2025, whatever that is, they have to be better there. And Matt LaFleur, to me, the biggest challenge is, and I know I've beaten this to death and I apologize, but they have to figure out a way to take two good things and make them work well together. And what I mean by that is one of the reasons I believe Jordan Love was as good as he was during the second half of last season was that they had Aaron Jones running the ball well. They had the offensive line playing really well, but their play action game was so good that it really, like you saw, and I asked LaFleur about this when he did his ending presser, like guys were wide open all the time. Like I remember after covering the Mike McCarthy era and guys make having better talent at receiver that guys would make plays when they were even covered. I just remember the LaFleur offense comes here. And I'm like, oh my God, guys are open everywhere. Like I know Homer, you and I had that conversation. They're open all the time, which allowed a not super accurate quarterback to be really good. And this year, that just wasn't true. And when he uttered the phrase after the Minnesota game, we got to win our one-on-one matchups, that's a Mike McCarthyism. And so what happened to scheming guys open? Well, you changed your running style. You changed your blocking system to suit a really, really good running back. Now you got to figure out, how do I marry up the play-action game to fit what Josh Jacobs does well? Because they did not do it, and there weren't guys as open as a result, and Jordan Love wasn't as good as a result.
And we've run out of time, and even though the professor may have another question, but that will lead us to what we can talk about next week. Because I still, I mean, you've explained it, but it's still the shock of the whole season to me that you have this great running back, and all of a sudden, nobody's opened the wide receivers. I don't get it. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. You go to WisconsinOnDemand.com, and then you just hit Jason Wilde, and then you get all the different things he says on a million different shows. He alluded to this a little bit, so I'll mention it. Travel plans. Listen up. Explore the many shades of Ireland with Colette Vacations and me. Yes, and my wife. On August the 9th, we're heading off an unbelievable journey. Explore the historic city of Dublin. Kiss the famous Blarney Stone. Stand on the spectacular cliffs of Moher. Visit an Irish dairy farm. Enjoy a taste or two or three or four at a historic whiskey distillery. And stay in a medieval castle. All right, you visit ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com, ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com, or February the 2nd, go to Maddie's Bar and Grill in New Berlin at 5 o'clock. All the people will be there from Colette's team, and then I'll be there, and I'm guessing I should probably bring my wife. I'll ask that when we return with the professor next.